Having a fit body has become a new status symbol for some urban dwellers in China. This demand drives a booming market for fitness products and, of course, gyms. So that's the place where you exercise. But recently, a wave of gym closures has swept certain parts of Beijing, as a CCTV report showed that more than 20 gyms have closed doors in a couple of districts in Beijing alone this summer. Besides, 60% of fitness clubs nationwide are also suffering losses. Okay, so we've all heard and witnessed to some extent this trend that people are paying more attention to their fitness and they want to sign up for a gym and go for classes or at least get on the treadmill kind of thing. But it seems now lots of these places are closing. What's going on, Lai Ming?
Well, the reason why you are talking about this is because we're seeing a story shared by a so-called insider, and he or she has shared some reasons why, as to why those gyms are being closed. And first, running gyms requires large initial investment, and if capital is insufficient, then the cash flow will be easily cut off. I mean, then I think this kind of makes sense for what's happening recently, because if you follow the news closely, you know that China is trying to few systemic tension, there's systemic risks in the financial sector, and we can see a reduction in the amount of liquidity in the market overall. So I imagine people running those gyms could be facing some challenges in this regard. And the second is vicious competition. Several gyms are close to each other, and there is no significant difference between them. They have no choice but to fight a price war so as to attract more customers, which will eventually disrupt the market. That also makes some kind of sense. So if you live in this neighborhood, there are basically two gyms close by, and they're about the same price, and normally you would choose the one that is closer to you, or if the other one is somehow a little bit further away but has more favorable prices, then it's a tough battle.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense. And after interviewing many fitness enthusiasts, the reporter of China News also learned that the biggest problems of traditional gyms at present are unprofessional coaches, low equipment quality, and mood-spoiling factors, such as coaches promoting fitness packages during training courses. There are some reasons, like I said, makes a lot of sense. But there are things, but I think they are just looking at the surface of the problems. I believe that the reason why gyms are facing a lot of challenges nowadays are, in fact, buried in history. I mean, in ancient China, we used to be an agrarian society, and people don't necessarily look at, exercising physically as something to be enjoyed. I mean, if you asked my grandpa or my dad, they would say, well, perhaps I already spend enough time working the fields. Why should I spend time just to sweat a little bit, just to look good? I mean, that kind of going to a gym, bodybuilding is counterintuitive to the rural way of living. And also, I think workouts, physical exercises, it is a counterintuitive thing to our endeavor to begin with. I mean, for someone to really enjoy this needs a lot of motivation. He or she has to be motivated strongly.
Absolutely.
By the goal to look good or stay fit. I mean, that's an endeavor that takes continuous input, and that doesn't necessarily promise immediate returns on you.
Tony, what do you think about this? Well, you from a coming from California, so
yeah.
Which is home to lots of gym rats.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, how do you look at this?
Well, since I've been living in Beijing for the past 3 years, I've noticed that the lifestyle from, a lot of my colleagues and everyone around me is just, it's a really long work day, and in addition to that, you have the commute time. Some of my friends would commute an hour, some of them would commute 2 hours one way to go to work. So, you factor in the 8 hours of work and then the 2 to 4 hours of trying to get home. And then there's, I don't really see how it's really, plausible for people to also want to go and lift weights for an hour or go to the treadmill. So it's just, I think it's the pace of life in Beijing. It's a very, very fast and busy city. Mm-hmm. So I think that this may also be a factor why people, you know, are not so enthusiastic about keeping up their gym memberships. You know, so as for myself, I've joined two gyms since I've been in Beijing. And
at different times, right?
At different times, yes. And I can't say that I honored the contract in that I, you know, worked out for it until its full duration because I was so busy with work and, you know, my work was almost like a workout in itself, you know, walking all over the city, going to this appointment and that appointment. So I could only imagine what, you know, a lot of other people in Beijing are feeling with these memberships.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Lai Ming always providing us a history lesson before laying out his
Whenever
argument. Yeah, and that's one part I do enjoy. I feel I learned a lot from you. And also what you said about in ancient China for the hundreds of years when I think in Chinese society, in the old ancient days, there's certainly a more emphasis put on being a magistrate, being someone who works with the
your
pen.
Mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Chinese calligraphy, you know, like being a person with the mind and exercise power through the mind instead of the body. And when you look at ancient Chinese paintings, you can see men always, they have very smooth body structure. I know that sounds a bit strange, but when you look at the linear depiction, that is the feeling you get. And there's almost an appreciation towards the stillness of life and tranquility. And that is hugely important in the traditional Chinese way of looking at how do you conduct your life and just the matter of existence, those things. But yes, now today in modern China, yes, we see that there's a hugely fast pace in cities. And I think it is one realization of people that no longer do we need to work in fields or much manual work.
Or ride a horse to fight in battles.
None of that happens. But then there's also some people who probably pay limited attention to the looks, but a lot of attention on health. And I think I'm turning more or less into that kind of person. And I think there's also the part that you realize you're constantly sitting at your desk, sedentary lifestyle, and you need to sort of be on the move and exercise those muscles, or, you know, before they forget that they exist. So going to the gym becomes a bit of a necessity for some people, but I am aware that this is something that is being marketed towards us as well.
In cities.
Yeah, and it's only in recent years has this kind of thought really sort of caught on. And now I think we've entered another stage, that is the phenomenon is no longer new. And we see that gyms have been opened in many neighborhoods in Beijing, Shanghai, lots of cities. Now it's about operation. Can these businesses stay afloat? And it seems, despite the fact that it's summertime when a lot of people actually do work out because we're wearing less layers in summertime. Some people want to hit the beach and those kind of things. So
that part, yes, is true.
Yeah, but contrary to popular belief, now we're seeing that a lot of these gyms are really finding it difficult to stay afloat. Although my sympathy here cannot be graciously given to them because there is one business model for gyms that happened here in China that is very problematic.
True. A lot of these gyms are operated on a membership basis. Namely, if you want to join the gym, you pay a certain amount of money up front. And then also both for membership and also for potentially the courses you are going to you assume that you're going to take. So that's a lot of money. I mean, I personally haven't gone to a gym. So, Tony, maybe you could shed some light on how much money you spend on the gym. But I imagine you could be somewhere between a few thousand yuan and perhaps more than 10,000 yuan a year. And I guess, well, that's my assumption. You could correct me later. And that's not healthy. I mean, that has to do with the way the gyms are being operated. And I have a half a mind to suspect that they are being operated half-minded at best. And a lot of those gyms, they don't necessarily mean business. I mean, what they do is they start, they rent a room, they purchase some necessary equipment, and they hire a few guys outside in the streets to sort of enlist more people to join. And once they collect the money, they will invest them elsewhere, maybe in the property market or maybe in the financial sector. And once, when they have trouble in those sectors, in their investment, then their business will have to hit a roadblock.
Yeah, I have to say that I was a victim of that type of marketing strategy. Oh. Typically, when I walk down the street, I would say I'm a relatively athletic person. So when I walk down the street, I'll see a lot of guys, you know, standing in front of the gym. They'll just see me from like a mile away, and they'll just start coming over and trying to hand me a flyer, try to get me into the gym. And I wave them off. I say thank you, or oh, Bu Xihuan. And I keep going. I cross the street, and there's another group of guys that come. And so it's a different type of strategy that I'm not familiar with back home. You know, it's a little bit different.
It has to do with collecting money so that they can invest them elsewhere. It's not that they're actually or actively managing the services they're providing. Otherwise, there's no way to explain the unprofessional coaches or the low equipment quality and the mood-spoiling factors that you're experiencing when you're spending time in the gym.
But that's really... Okay, that's one thing I also like to check with Tony. I would have thought that all coaches in all countries in gyms, they have to some extent that pressure to want to make more money, and that is through getting more people to pay for gym membership or sign up and pay for their classes. But how is it that in other places that this is not pursued so aggressively to the point that it makes people uncomfortable?
Well, I think that it's just they go about it a different way. I think, you know, contracts are important all over the world. And, you know, in the fitness industry, they promote a lot of activities in the gym, and they hope that people will go out and tell people about it. And then typically you get some type of incentive when you refer people. So it's not so much of an aggressive approach of going out and getting people to come in. You know, you kind of let your service speak for itself. And then, you know, word of mouth, people will bring others in. They get a few free months of, you know, working out if they are able to refer friends. And so they use this approach to kind of get their current clients to go and refer new ones.
Okay. And there's one thing that me, being someone who's also signed up for a gym in the past.
Well, I had no idea.
You
still didn't look like you spent time in the gym.
Well, you should have said that a little faster. I have some mixed feelings about this right now, Lai Ming. Yes, okay, but admittedly, I didn't go to the gym regularly, so I don't think results really showed particularly well in my case. And one thing I can give testament to is the money that you are supposed to pay up front is a lot, and it consists of two parts. Membership fee, so that is, without membership, you can't use the gym.
Oh.
You can only go in and stroll around.
And admire the facilities.
And admire the sweaty people in there. Oh. So, and that just sounded kind of gross. And the other part is course fee, so you buy the classes.
Okay.
From coaches and gym instructors. So it's these two parts that you have to pay for at one go in the beginning.
And that's how much?
For me, I paid a few thousand.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But that wasn't even considered that much because I know the owner of the gym, so she gave me a massive discount. But anyhow, for Chinese people, usually you're asked to pay for a one-year gym membership plus X amount of classes up front. And when I saw this, the immediate thought was, I wonder how many people out there are going to be able to fulfill the amount of money that they've paid for, because we all know going to the gym is, that's an arduous job, and you paid for that, right? So, but still, Chinese consumers simply put up with it. Everybody in that gym, they've paid that 12 months of membership. So that's the part that I kind of can't understand. Why do we as consumers sort of accept this?
That does seem like a rather high or tall threshold for anyone who want to join or enjoy the service. Because before the show, I did a little research and found out that the latest statistics show that Chinese people, urban residents, they had disposable income of about 19,000 yuan for the first 6 months of the year. So that translates to a little less than 40,000 yuan a year. And to spend several thousand yuan on gym membership and to pay for them upfront at one go, that's a serious challenge for a lot of people, even urban residents, and not to mention people in rural areas. And I imagine there shouldn't be any gyms there.
What do you think, Tony, about this membership issue?
Well, as I mentioned before, I've been a victim of it twice, and I unfortunately wasn't able to go to the gym every day because things happen in a year. Sometimes you change jobs or you relocate, go to a different apartment, so it's not no longer convenient to go to that gym anymore. But back home, things are a bit different. So I guess it's just cultural familiarity. Back home, there's a lot of gyms that charge you per month. So that's more of what I was used to. And so paying things up front, I was offered, or I was told that I needed to pay 4,000 at this gym, 6,000 at this gym. And for services that I may or may not utilize, but that was what was mandatory, and I had to do it if I wanted to work out. And since working out is a big deal for me, and I think that might have a little bit to do with the culture back home. Working out and building muscles are what you do if you want to be athletic and healthy. So I ended up paying and didn't even utilize the gym for the year. So I'm a little disgruntled about that, honestly.
But in the limited amount of time that you spend in the gym in China, how would you evaluate the quality of service that you get from the trainers? Are they pretty good, or are they just decent, or are they crappy?
Well, I think for service, it's something that you would have to request and something that you would want. I'm pretty autonomic when I work out. I just go in and I have my own regimen. And I think really the service applies for people who want to engage in a lot of classes, be it yoga or some type of, Pilates class, or if you want some guidance on, how to work out, or if you want to, lose weight, or if it's a functional goal that you're looking for in the gym. But for myself, I didn't really have a lot of those experiences because I had my own, my own regimen that I'm content with. And so from my perspective, I thought it was okay. It was satisfactory.
Yeah.
So most people are like you, just content with access to those facilities on the ground. However, I think that's sort of related to the outdated way of operation for Chinese gyms. I mean, they just build the stadium or build the location. Hopefully people will pay money and come in and enjoy the service. But there are stories showing that actually Chinese gyms, at least those earnest gym operators, they're looking to to increase their odds, to try and more attract more users or visitors to the grounds by staging still special activities like gymnastics. I mean, they'll have a coach. They will lead a group of people to do exercises in group. So make it some kind of like a social event, and then people are more will be more adhesive. I mean, people will be more attracted to go there more often. And I think that's a more healthy way of doing things. And another tendency is that there are actually private tutors, private trainers, who just break off with their agreement with those large gyms. Instead, they will, for instance, rent a small or somewhat big apartment in a residential quarter, and they will start their own studio. And I can totally see myself wanting to enjoy that kind of service if they were more affordable in terms of price. I mean, a lot of people are still being scared away by the steep price that those trainers are offering. But I can see myself, should I make more money? I can see myself spending time in this small-scale studio kind of gym in my neighborhood.
Yeah, and that seems to be a new trend that's picking up steam recently. And also, there is one pretty terrible scenario that could happen with the gym membership. That is, as we've talked about, you pay a large amount of money at one go up front, and then you find out the next day or in a matter of months or something like that, the gym closes doors. And where did my money go? That is the part that really enrages
people. P2P lending, micro loan and stuff.
I don't want to know that
line. Somebody's apartment.
I want to defend my civil consumer rights.
I mean, that part I think is totally the responsibility of authorities. I mean, market watchers, they should do a better job at vetting or making sure that those who start a business really mean business when they begin the business.
Or if there's any way to sort of deter these bad people from swindling my money, that's how I see it, or a punishment that can come afterwards if, you know, just to prevent these people from running away with my money, hard-earned money.